Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
High atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
25 people are arrested when Occupy Portland remains in Jameson Square Park. Herman Cain denies allegations of sexual harassment, and Metallica fans riot when dates are canceled in India.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Monday, October 31st, 2011. Nearly 30 people were arrested Sunday morning as Occupy Portland protesters refused to leave Jameson Square, but the demonstration ended without violence, police said. When the park closed just after midnight, police warned everyone that they would be arrested if they didn't leave. Early Monday, protesters created another encampment at Terry Schrunk Plaza. They were also expecting a visit, by the way, from documentary filmmaker Michael Moore at 3:30 this afternoon.
That's right, because it's a gathering of the 99%.
Yes.
Who aren't, like, billionaires.
The Sunday arrest occurred after police
said... Is he just there anywhere that there's free food to be handed out? Is that the thing? If there's just a taco stand, he appears?
If there's rich people to yell at, then he wants to be there.
I love Michael
anywhere
Moore.
Anywhere that there are rich people to yell at, I will be there.
I really honestly do love Michael Moore. And I apologize for the taco stand thing. It was just the low... What did Willing call it? Carpet fruit? It's just right there. You got to do it. That has less to do with Michael Moore and more about, like, the people there who will undoubtedly hail him with many huzzas and hosannas, which seems a little self-contradictory. It seems to be mutually exclusive.
He's kind of a millionaire at this point, isn't he?
I think he's a millionaire in point of fact, I think several times over. That would just be my estimation. I could be way off. Maybe he's blown it all on hookers and blow. I don't, or at the ponies. You know, I don't know. What are you doing over there?
Those were not my headphones.
Okay.
And everything sounded weird and
everything sounded wonky
and wrong.
See, now you're using headphones that are the same as mine. So, see, you were just now listening to the world as it appears to me, Rick Emerson, and it sounded all wrong and strange, didn't it?
It did. It sounded. I don't know. It was a little tinny is the only way. It's sharper. It's a sharper sound. I get a much warmer sound through my headphones.
I try to avoid things that are warm.
The Sennheisers.
No, I. Warmth in any form just sickens me. It revolts me. arrests and
those are way
so
more
forth.
Comfortable than mine, though. Mine still squeeze my head.
No, it's because my ears are delicate instruments, Dawn, and so I need headphones with lots of thick, cushiony padding. It's like a soft Snuggies diaper wrapped around my head.
It's
a
like,
diaper of sound.
It's like a slanket for your ears.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Well,
wait, so they arrested a bunch of people?
Yeah.
Did I miss a chance to make a cheap joke?
Yes.
Okay.
You did. I'm sure there will be more chances, though. In a statement on Sunday morning, Occupy Portland spokesman Jordan Ledoux said that about 450 supporters had been in the park before police moved in, which means there were probably about 200.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, Ledoux said a woman was pinned between two mounted police horses while standing on the sidewalk in support of protesters, and another supporter's bicycle was crushed in the incident.
Okay.
And cops said there was no violence. Mm-hmm. Right. A bicycle was crushed. The group had talked about expanding to the square for several days, calling the Pearl District the best example of wealth disparity in Portland. Mayor Sam Adams disagreed and spoke Sunday morning about why he chose to prevent camping at Jameson Square. And okay.
This is really what we're down to now. Now we're not even protesting Wall Street. They're just protesting people who live on Lovejoy.
Well, here's the thing.
That's it. That's the epitome of all that is wrong with this world. People who live on Northrop. You know who you are.
Well, here's the problem I have with this, because I
honestly,
I with every bit of me, I support everything that the Occupy protesters are angry about. I really do.
Damn Lovejoy residents.
But here's where, and I love our mayor. I love Sam Adams. I love Sam Adams. But here's where I have an issue with some of this stuff. Sam Adams' response to this. Now, once again, as we have established, it's illegal to camp in parks, but Adams said, it's okay to camp in these parks. I say so. You may stay in these two towns, for I am not a lawgiver. I am the king. So I can say that these laws do not apply if I say so. But now it's like, oh no, but now you're going to go and annoy the rich people walking their dogs. So now we're going to, like, you know, bring down the hammer. And his explanation for this, he says, unlike Chapman and Lansdowne Square, he said, and this is his quote, this is a neighborhood park surrounded by residential and street business. It's also a place that the 99% live. In addition to more affluent residents, there are 5 subsidized affordable housing projects within 4 blocks of Jameson Square. Now, if you followed the news back when they renovated the Pearl, you will know that those affordable housing projects.
I can hear your quotes.
That might quickly spiraled out of the realm of where any, like, regular ordinary people who would need subsidized housing could possibly live in.
Well, wait, are they government houses? I don't understand what that means when they say they're affordable housing.
Basically, it's the thing where to build the multi-million dollar lofts, they had to set aside a certain percentage that is ostensibly affordable, that it's subsidized by the government.
So it's
rent controlled and it's affordable. But the thing is, it's not what I think most people who would think of subsidized housing would consider affordable. It's only affordable if you're an average person who is already like a 2-income family and could not otherwise afford to live in the Pearl.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so that's really, really disingenuous of him to point at affordable housing.
I've lost track of what I'm supposed to be angry at in the story.
Anyway.
Is it the government, or is it hippies, or both? Rich people?
The thing we've learned, I think, about the Occupy movement
and
the Tea Party.
Poor people living with rich people?
The idea is to just be angry.
Okay.
Just be angry, Rick.
All right.
Be angry at everything. Just be angry.
I'm just saying for
you
me.
You already have that skill set.
It is. That is my talent cluster falls squarely within that area. I'm just saying for me. I mean, I have no problem with him just brooming people out because it seems like they shouldn't have been given an exception anyway.
No.
Not because I'm opposed to hippies, but because it seems like the law ought to apply. It's the same reason why I don't think, as horrible as this sounds, it's like the same reason I don't think a cop ought to be able to let you off with a warning. Because if a cop can give you a warning to be nice, it means a cop can opt to give you a ticket to be a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And so it goes both ways. People say, well, the cop let me off with a warning. But for every for every person who's let off with a warning, there's somebody who doesn't get a warning, and that therefore seems unfair. So it seems like if you're breaking the law, you ought to get, unless there is some legitimately extenuating circumstance, like a guy had a bomb collar around your neck, it seems like you ought to get whatever the penalty for that is.
Yeah, if you have a guy in charge who can just decide at whim what laws, you know, will be enforced and what won't, you don't have a democracy.
Well, that's not a law, then. It's a suggestion.
No, you have a benevolent dictatorship is what you have at that point.
And that's wrong unless it's me.
Yes. Well, police in Texas, Oregon, and Colorado have arrested dozens of Occupy protesters over the weekend. And they
sounds like it's more like Occupy.
Oh, as in goodbye.
As in waving. That really works if it's a visual.
Occupy.
No,
yeah, something like that. So they're trying to clear the demonstration sites. Here is the sound of some of those protesters in Portland.
Let's see. This is protest one,
yes,
maybe? Sure. Okay. We'll just hold on. Just waiting for Dick Clark and Ryan Seacrest to appear. That's right, Ryan. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Was that it?
That's I don't even know what's going on there.
Other than hearing some guy go, yoo-hoo! I think it was Tigger.
Yeah.
I can't understand what they're
doing. I'm not really sure. I'm going to set that aside, and that's going to be all-purpose exuberance noise for us in the future.
Well, all right, then.
I'm wearing Halloween-themed boxer shorts.
Police rushed to a home near Southeast 151st Street and Gladstone about 5:30 a.m. this morning on reports of a drunk man with a gun threatening people. Dispatchers told responding officers that 10 children and 3 or 4 adults may be in the home. Huh? Okay.
What?
That's what they said. 10 children and 3 or 4 adults were in the home. Police discovered those people had left the home, leaving the man, a frequent visitor, inside. He had barricaded himself in the attic.
But they left the children behind. Apparently.
Well, I think they took the children, too. I think the only person in the house was the man at the point when the cops arrived.
Okay.
And he was barricaded in the attic. As they started to clear the scene around 8:45, after determining the man was not a threat to neighboring homes, police heard a crash. The man, who had been hiding in the attic, had crashed through the living room ceiling. He was treated for minor injuries at the hospital and faces accusations related to domestic violence.
Uh-huh. So there's 4 adults, 10 children, a guy with a gun.
Who's a frequent visitor.
A frequent visitor.
Yeah, and he was drunk.
All right. The key is to step on the beams. Don't step on the insulation.
Right.
Because then you're just right through the ceiling like that. All right. That's too bad that there was nobody there to see him, though, because that would have been a great, like, moment from a movie that actually happened to you in real life, like when River Phoenix falls through the ceiling in sneakers. You never get to see that stuff except on the big screen.
No. My dad put his foot through my bedroom ceiling once when he was putting in a lamp. He was putting in a ceiling lamp.
It's not really
but
the same
not
thing,
really
though.
The same thing. It was
falling
just
through
a
the ceiling.
Foot. Yeah. Elsewhere in Portland, an intruder was punched out and detained by police.
Body blow!
Or for police, one of the two, after entering a North Portland home and watching TV on Sunday morning.
Did he have his pants on?
I think
so,
yeah.
Usually pantsless that these activities are done.
Police were called just before 7:30 to a home in the 7100 block of North Fowler Avenue on the report of a burglary in progress. Sergeant Pete Simpson said, prior to the officers arriving, dispatch advised that someone in the home had, quote, punched out the suspect and was physically restraining him until police arrived. Officers at the scene learned that 32-year-old Jason Leon Bastrom had let himself in through an unlocked door and sat on the couch to watch TV. The resident of the home called 911 and then called a relative who lived nearby. Simpson said, this family member came over and confronted Bastrom and told him to leave. Bastrom got up but had one hand in his pants pocket, causing the family member to fear he might have been armed. So then the family member struck Bastrom in the head, knocking him down.
What had he stolen, exactly?
He didn't steal anything. I don't think it was really... There was a report of a burglary, but it's not really a burglary.
Oh,
he was actually just trespassing.
Okay.
Police arrived and took Bastrom into custody. He was taken by ambulance to a nearby hospital and treated for injuries he suffered in the altercation. He was then charged with trespassing and booked into the county jail.
Stole their innocence and a good night's sleep.
And I think those people will learn a little something about locking their back door.
Seriously. No, because otherwise you just come in and the guy's just there and he's you know,
watching TV.
Ruining the ass groove. You've spent a lot of time putting in the sofa or the chair. Hey, hello. It is Monday, October 31st, 2011. This is Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Coming up later on this hour, your Science of the March, also entertainment news. And if you want to get this program later on today, perhaps to listen to it all over again and enjoy the magic anew. You can, or a used, depending on how you look at it. You can get that via iTunes or as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com, and you can take it with you wherever you may roam in your mobile device. That is mobile.cascadia.fm. And next time for the Rick Emerson Radio Program, today we'll be joined by Mr. Aaron Duran with the Week in Geek Halloween edition. Also, we'll be announcing the winners of the Rick Emerson Show Geek-O-Lantern Contest. You can see all the entries at geekolantern.com. That is geekolantern.com, and we'll be announcing the winners of that next hour. And let's see, we'll have a recap of last night's episode of Walking Dead and something else. Dawn?
Penis Watch?
Penis Watch, sure.
We'll probably talk about what we did on the weekend.
Probably. There's that.
Yeah.
Other stuff.
Things.
Okay.
Sure.
Here's Dawn Taylor at the news desk.
Herman Cain was accused of sexual harassment by 2 female employees who worked with him at the National Restaurant Association in the late 1990s.
Wait, great headline for a newspaper. Let's see. Winning the presidency. Is Cain able?
That's good.
See what I did there?
That.
All right, I'm going to put that on Twitter later and see how long it takes somebody to do that. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
sexy lady waitresses guilty of raising Cain.
Okay.
Because there's a sexual harassment.
Cain, he
thing.
Do it?
Yeah.
Yes, we Cain.
Cain, he keep it in his pants? The women reportedly later took financial payments in the five-figure range.
Or in the five-finger range,
that
Don.
That, too. Those weren't that's actually the, you do financial the, arrangements.
Do the thumb first, though, really. That's the thing.
Is that the key?
Yeah, if you can get the thumb, then the rest of it's good to go.
Okay, thank you. You know, there are things that I would prefer not to have an image in my head of you doing, by the way. It's just...
Why is it going to be me?
I'm just... Because you're apparently the
picture
expert
Antonio
with the
Banderas
thumb.
Doing it.
Okay.
Just picture it being Ralph Fiennes.
Sexy Ralph Fiennes or sexy Fiennes as he... Or Ralph Fiennes as he looks right now, like Charles Manson with the scary Alan Moore hair.
However you like.
Okay. The women reportedly took financial payments in the five-figure range before parting ways with the Washington Trade Group, which Cain led as president and CEO from late 1996 to mid-1999. Cain's campaign, which the blog Politico says declined on multiple occasions over the past 10 days to directly address the allegations, scrambled Sunday evening to deflect and then deny the report, spinning it as a politically motivated attack aimed at marginalizing the candidate. Fearing the message of Herman Cain, who is shaking up the political landscape in Washington, inside the Beltway media have begun to launch unsubstantiated personal attacks on Cain, they said in a statement. Sadly, we've seen this movie played out before. A prominent conservative targeted by liberals simply because they disagree with his politics. Cain continued to not discuss the subject this morning on his way to an economic policy speech in Washington, D.C., his campaign team is working very hard to put out the fire with somewhat mixed results. Mark Block, Cain's cigarette-smoking chief of staff. I don't know why it points out he smokes cigarettes, but I like that. His cigarettes, like he's the cigarette-smoking man from the X-Files
like
or something.
He's just sort of lurking in the shadows like Hal Holbrook.
He told MSNBC that Politico's anonymously sourced article claiming the candidate has sexually harassed the former employees was wrong, although his comments concerning any cash settlement the women may have received appeared to be less definitive. He said, "Let me tell you that Herman Cain has never sexually harassed anybody, period, end of story," he said at the beginning of the interview. But then later he said, "I am not personally aware of any cash settlement relating to sexual harassment charges to Mr. Cain." He was then asked a number of follow-up questions, but he, directed them to go see somebody else.
I have plausible deniability.
So, during an appearance at the National Press Club today, Cain acknowledged that he is being accused of such things.
I was falsely accused of sexual harassment, and when the charges were brought, as the leader of the organization, I recused myself and allowed my general counsel and my human resource officer to deal with the situation.
I love the word recuse. Anybody who uses that word immediately wins my heart.
Recuse. Awesome. I like the way he says recuse.
I like his inflection.
Cain says the allegations are untrue.
In all of my over 40 years of business experience, running businesses and corporations, I have never sexually harassed anyone.
Well, that does sound fairly definitive.
That does. That doesn't mean he's not lying, but it does sound definitive.
Now, are we still saying, though, that he was paying bitches off?
Apparently the bitches got paid off.
That's allegation anyway?
That's harder to disprove if there are actual records of them getting large payments.
I guess it could mean, things are all settled all the time, though, so he might have just decided he didn't want didn't want the grief or whatever.
But that doesn't mean that he's still, but he's denying that he was ever accused of sexual harassment at all. So
it seems like there would be a record of that somewhere. I'm inclined to believe him if only because he's saying that flatly and definitively, and if anybody knows anything about how the HR departments work, I mean, if somebody says that, that's in a file somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, it's, unless he was just having somebody go in and firebomb the whole place late at night, it seems like that is on a piece of paper somewhere.
Well, we'll probably know one way or the other fairly soon because there's going to be about 3,000 different news organizations digging into it now. So, God, I don't even want to talk about this. But
yes, you do. I don't even know what it is. Is it something horrible?
To me, it is. At least a dozen mothers held a nurse-in at a local shopping center to raise awareness about breastfeeding rights.
Is that here?
Yes.
Really? Nobody mentioned it to me. Could have gone down and stared.
It was spurred by a recent incident at Bridgeport Village where a young security guard told two young mothers they should stop breastfeeding in an outdoor children's play area.
Unless it's each other.
Breastfeeding in public is protected by Oregon law. It is legal to breastfeed children in public places. Bonnie McDeal said, I'm not surprised that people weren't aware of the law because I wasn't aware until I had my own baby and was breastfeeding. And it's not something that people, especially without babies, ever think about. She was one of the mothers the security guard told to cover up or go somewhere else to nurse. I read about this story on Friday. She was openly nursing near this children's play area. A security guard told her she was going to have to cover it up or go to, they have a breastfeeding, an actual room set aside in the restroom area for women to go. And that's what she told him. She said,
why don't you suck it, pal? You can't, figuratively.
You can't tell me not to because I am legally allowed by Oregon law. And he told her again. And so she went to the manager of the shopping center and complained about the security guard. And he kind of backed up the security guard and said, well, ma'am, you really need to go cover it up because that's inappropriate. And then she once again said, well, it's legal. So what she did was she jumped on the Facebook and got a bunch of women together.
Everyone, get your boobs down here now.
Yeah.
Lactate on my command.
Oh, God. And as you know, I am not, I am squeamish about pregnancy, and I am grossed out by lactating bosoms. So the idea that there was just a whole bunch of women there all at once suckling their children.
I am all for whatever gets more breasts exposed in public.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter the venue. I'm all that to me. That is not about the journey. That's the destination.
So anyway, the management said that was an isolated incident. Management of Bridgeport Village, and they would work harder to educate everyone working at the shopping center about the rights of breastfeeding moms. They supported the nursing. They provided cookies for the moms while they were lactating in public. And Sarah Sumter with Bridgeport Village said, "We are a community center, and we welcome moms. We are just really pleased with the turnout." And that we've all come together to be on the same page and make it a positive thing.
Is it the lactation itself that grosses you out? What if you found out that, the mom was, she was basically just going through the motions? You know, there's a breast, there's a sucking, but there's no milk.
It's not even really the milk. It's the sucking. It's the
Is
thing
it just
of,
if it's a child?
It's me having to watch a stranger. And I have watched close friends nurse their babies. And I was mildly uncomfortable with it, but it didn't gross me out because it's it was an intimate moment, but it's somebody that I know really well. So it just seems like it's sort of an intimate thing, like pooping or changing your tampon or putting on pantyhose. It's something I don't really want to see a stranger do. I really, really don't want to watch a woman with a baby latched onto her boob and sucking on it.
You know, you're really not watching enough hot breastfeeding porn is the problem.
No,
it would
not.
Really, it would rewire your thinking on this matter.
And yes, I understand that babies have to eat, and I understand it's a natural thing. I do understand that. And I also understand that, yes, it is legal. I know it's legal. But you know something? There's a lot of things that go on in public that are legal that I don't want to look at. And so I just, I don't demand that these people go away. I just go, ugh, and I turn and I shudder and I look the other way.
Well, it seems like he would know better than to, because there's nobody that is just looking for an excuse to get bitchy like a bunch of moms.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You would think he would know, because then immediately it's, that is the sound of the million mom whatever just getting their panties in a collective
wad. Oh, and no one is more authoritative.
No one is more self-righteous than a group of mothers.
New mothers, particularly. I mean, once somebody has a baby, and I swear, for the first 2 years, they are like an expert on everything,
yeah.
and will just beat you down if you cross them.
Mothers against or for anything are irritating, and there's just no getting around that.
Yeah. This week, Pacific Corp Energy opted out of complying with new fish passage rules for one of its hydroelectric facilities in Washington State. Instead, the utility company figured it would be cheaper to demolish the 120-foot-tall, 98-year-old Condit Dam, allowing the White Salmon River to flow freely again into the Columbia River 3 miles downstream. Videos of the explosion, which you can find online, are fascinating to watch. The massive release of water illustrates just how much a dam can alter a landscape. So, yeah, you can Google, like, explosion.
So they're just dynamiting the dam into little pieces?
They just dynamited the dam and let the river run again.
Awesome.
Steelhead and salmon can now resume unimpeded swims up and down the river. Rafters and kayakers have a new stretch of white water to get excited about. And scientists will surely stay tuned to see how the environment restores itself with a huge pile of concrete blocking its way.
Awesome.
Whoa. Well, there's a, it's Halloween. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Oh, damn it, damn it, damn it. Oh, I've failed.
You
I'm
failed.
Sorry.
I've been waiting.
I have failed. And you know, and the thing is, I've had like all weekend to get ready for this. Have failed everyone. I apologize. That's me. I've let everyone down here. Hold on a second. I'll get this ready so that we can hornify Robert Wagner.
Also my wedding anniversary.
Which is when?
Today.
It's not a real wedding anniversary.
Yeah,
though.
It is.
I thought you, isn't it like some second wedding or?
No, but this is the legal one.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is the actual legal wedding anniversary that we celebrate.
All right. And by.
But we haven't been able to figure out if it's 12 or 13 because we can't remember what year we were married.
Ah, love. And by today, you mean.
Yes.
This is what you're talking about right now.
Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween to worship. Happy, happy Halloween.
All right.
Well, there's an app for Halloween. It costs $5. It's called Trick or Tracker.
That's stupid.
It's a GPS that lets parents follow their kids when they're out asking for candy. Some mothers, like Jennifer Scott, say this could be a good thing.
What were we just saying about the power of mothers in even small groups to irritate me and annoy me? And I was on their side just seconds ago with the whole taking your boob out.
No, it's like, if I'm going to let you out of my sight, you better have a chip embedded in the back of your neck.
Seriously, because the leash was too much work. What is it? What the hell is this called?
App One.
Well, I think they're a good safety feature. The GPS knowing where they're at, that would be helpful. Make me at least feel safer knowing where they are.
I can't really be bothered to actually spend time with my children or be near them in any way. If I could just do it while putting my fat ass on the sofa, that'd be a lot easier. I'm just speculating. I don't really know that's what
you're
saying.
Others like Amy Babcock or Babock say this app might be more trick than treat.
She doesn't say that.
That's just what it says on the paper.
Well, I guess I think.
I don't think I can do it.
Yeah, you can. Come on. What does she say?
All right, hold on. If I'm gonna do this, I just need to. If I'm gonna do this, I need to brace myself a little something first. And by something, I mean.
Happy, happy Halloween.
Okay.
Well, I guess I think that if you aren't comfortable just sending your kids out on their own,
and stuff,
then probably they shouldn't go.
They're probably not gonna have phones anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Wait, this is two people.
Yeah, that's two different people.
Well, this is. I feel like I've been swindled here.
Been hoodwinked.
All right, I've been bamboozled. Run amok! Sorry. Okay. Well, this is all true. And so forth.
Okay.
And whatnot.
Okay, we should do some science.
Should we?
Yeah.
Do we have to?
Yeah. All
right.
We do. The people demand it.
Okay, you're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Hold on, let me make sure that I'm editing this. There we go. I'm just getting that all ready to go. Because, you know, at the drop of a hat, we might need a little. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Halloween. We've got your entertainment news coming up later on. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program. Here is your Science on the March for Monday, October 31st, 2011.
Researchers on Sunday reported initial signs of success from the first release into the environment of mosquitoes engineered to pass a lethal gene to their offspring, killing them before they reach adulthood.
Yeah, they won't resent that later.
The results and other work elsewhere could herald an age in which genetically modified insects will be used to help control agricultural pests and insect-borne diseases like dengue fever and malaria. But the research is arousing concern about possible unintended effects on public health because once genetically modified insects are released, they cannot be recalled. Authorities in the Florida Keys, which in 2009 experienced its first cases of dengue fever in decades, hope to conduct an open-air test of the modified mosquitoes as early as December. It's a more ecologically friendly way to control mosquitoes than spraying pesticides, said Colleen Fitzsimmon, a spokeswoman for the Florida Keys Mosquito Control District. The Agriculture Department, meanwhile, is looking at using genetic engineering to help control farm pests like the Mediterranean fruit fly and the cotton-munching pink bollworm. Worm. Cotton-munching pink...
The cotton-munching pink bollworm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yet even supporters of the research worry it could provoke a public reaction similar to the one that has limited the acceptance of genetically modified crops. In particular, critics say that Oxitec, the British biotechnology company that developed the dengue-fighting mosquito, has rushed into field testing without sufficient review and public consultation, sometimes in countries with weak regulations. Lawrence O'Gostin, professor of international health law at Georgetown University, said, even if the harms don't materialize, this will undermine the credibility and legitimacy of the research enterprise.
Does the thing actually have cotton munching in its name?
Yes.
Not eating, devouring, defoliating.
The cotton munching pink bollworm.
It starts off sounding like a thing that my grandmother would say, like a sort of a, like a like a like a curse or just as a reprisal. And then it becomes sort of oogie, and then at the end It becomes like an alien creature of some kind.
Now, to be fair, it may just be called the pink bollworm. And the person who wrote this story is using cotton munching as a descriptive.
Hey, here's a question.
Yeah.
Well, I should put. No, I'm gonna write this down. Save it for next hour.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Is this about me having the sniffles?
Yes, it's not.
No. Okay. A renewable engine.
Yes. You mean like Engine Joe?
Yes.
Okay.
No. A renewable energy plan in Austin, Texas, called the Pecan
Engines
Street
Engines aren't really
Project.
Renewable. I think we found that out.
No, no.
We're almost out.
Yes. You can use them all up. Never mind. Anyway, they intend to connect an entire neighborhood with solar panels, electric vehicles, utility smart meters, and household batteries in a giant green power blender. Corporate partners include General Motors, Sony, Intel, Sun Edison, Whirlpool, Best Buy, and Toshiba. They'll be using participating households to try out how their products do on an integrated smart grid, according to Brewster McCracken, executive director of Pecan Street Incorporated.
According to Philip McCrevis.
To be relevant, smart grid innovations must solve consumers' problems and provide services that excite them, said Brewster McCracken in the Austin American-Statesman. This fall, 200 homes were outfitted with about a half square mile of solar panels. That's about a third of the neighborhood. By spring of 2012, they will also get systems that automatically regulate heating, cooling, and lighting. In June of 2012, GM will offer Chevy Volt EVs to 100 people in the neighborhood with a $15,000 rebate against the $40,000 price tag. While some cities have looked at integrating EVs and solar panels, nobody's done something this ambitious.
Wait, what does EV stand for again?
Electric vehicle.
Okay.
Supporters hope a $10.4 million stimulus grant plus matching money from corporate partners will keep it going for 5 years. Companies say they'll get feedback on how well their appliances work and probably a little bit of marketing cred. Local utility Austin Energy will be developing a green building code. Questions are, of course, will it work? Will the devices and the power supplies integrate? Will Governor Rick Perry just pull the plug on it because, you know, it's all about green crap and he doesn't approve? Just, they'll find out when they start doing it.
All right. So maybe I missed something here, but so what did
they're creating an entire green renewable energy neighborhood that everything is on a grid that is fed by solar panels and that's going to include their lights, their heat.
This will never work.
Charging stations for electric cars.
First of all, I can just plug my car into the goddamn outlet now.
Yes, but that's energy. That is electricity that is coming from coal power. This is going to be an entire renewable neighborhood.
This is never going to happen. Mark my words right now. Bet you any amount of money right now, this is never going to. Because the thing about solar power, as I understand it, is it just doesn't generate. Like, it just doesn't generate enough to run all the stuff you think it ought to run. That's the deal. It's like they sort of, at maximum, I think it can just offset a little bit of it. But I don't, unless there's been some massive advance in solar power, like in the last day and a half or something, I think that's a thing that people believe can just run everything on under the sun, so to speak. Yeah. But I don't believe that's actually the case.
Well, they got a half square mile of solar panels for 200 houses.
Somebody conned somebody into selling them something in this. That's all I know about this. And somebody's right, you know, Brewster McCracken really does sound like an 80s cable TV show, you know, but he'd be like Brewster McCracken, he'd be like some sort of Harry Anderson type, but he would be a lawyer, you know, and who took, you know, took on cases that everybody else thought were unwinnable. You know, he'd be sort of like an 80s version of like a David E. Kelly character.
And he always gets the guy to talk by doing some kind of a coin trick.
Exactly. No, and he would have some treatment like bright red suspenders that he always wore.
A 25-year-old chimpanzee named Pansy has demonstrated that speech perception is not a uniquely human trait. Well-educated Pansy understands more than 130 English language words and even recognizes words in sine wave form, a type of synthetic speech that reduces language to three whistle-like tones. This shows that she isn't just responding to a particular person's voice or emotions, but instead she's processing and perceiving speech as humans do. At the 162nd meeting of the Acoustical Society of America in San Diego, Lisa Heimbauer presented her talk about the chimp, saying, "The results suggest the common ancestor of chimpanzees and humans may have had the capability to perceive speech-like sounds before the evolution of speech, and that early humans were taking advantage of this latent ability when speech did eventually emerge." Heimbauer is a doctoral candidate and researcher at Georgia State University's Language Research Center. She and her colleagues tested Pansy on her ability to understand words communicated via sine wave speech, which replicates the estimated frequency and amplitude patterns of natural utterances. Tickle, M&M, lemonade, and sparkler were just a few of the test words. Even when the words were stripped of the acoustic constituents of natural speech, Pansy knew what they meant, correctly matching them to corresponding photos.
First of all, is this M&M the candy or M&M the rapper?
I think it's M&M the candy.
Okay, all right. Second of all,
I don't think chimps really like M&M the rapper that much, but they love the candy.
Well, how do we know? That's the thing. It's entirely possible that she loves M&M, but is unable, but lacks the mechanism by which to convey that sentiment to us.
That's possible.
Also, doesn't it seem like a waste of time to be seeing if a thing that is really, genetically speaking, almost identical to us in many ways, acts kind of like we do? Isn't that sort of a foregone conclusion? I mean, we're basically just hairless chimps, so I mean, of course they act like we
but
do.
But I think we do this on chimps because chimps don't speak the way
because
that we
they can't
speak.
Say stop.
Well, yeah, that too.
They can't say, oh, ow, no, it really hurts now.
But they don't, they're very similar to us, but they don't have language. So therefore, if it's like the same stuff we do with dolphins. It's like if you can get other mammals who don't speak and try to figure out how they understand words. It's all that wonky science thing of trying to understand why language works where it comes
from, how it's
understood.
It seems like the dolphin thing is way more interesting, though, because chimps are basically just us. They're just behind us in line.
Yeah.
Like, in a billion years, like that pansy or whoever will be, you know, taking a briefcase and bitching about the wife, you know, as it gets on the train to work. The dolphin, though, seems to be on a totally different evolutionary track, you know, because it's not a primate. So it just seems
like they're probably smarter than us.
Yeah, it seems like you're just proving stuff you already know. It seems like that's not real science to be proving that a primate is similar to us.
I think that's a lot of what happens, though, in university settings with research.
Prove some crap that we all know already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A Fort Collins, Colorado ninth grader has allergies so dangerous she can't risk being inside her high school, but she's still going to school and sees her friends because she has a robot that goes to class for her.
Awesome.
14-year-old Lauren Robinson said she has a severe dairy allergy that has left her homebound for her freshman year.
Children are going to hurl butter into her face.
Apparently so, yes. Like, no milk!
It's another cheese shelling.
It's an allergy that left her homebound for her freshman year because being in school could kill her. She said,
"Look, you're
going
to have
a tough time
in the world, kid."
This is her quote, and I love this quote. I love this quote. "There are kids touching the desk with their breakfast hands," she said.
Breakfast hands, not just for breakfast anymore.
With a Wi-Fi robot called Vigo, Robinson's teachers and friends can see and talk with her while she's safe at home controlling the robot from her keyboard.
That's one kid that doesn't get bullied, I'll tell you that.
No.
Hey, metal face.
The robot will crush them.
Seriously.
Rolling to class, Robinson said she sometimes feels like a bit of a robotic rock star. "It's kind of hard to get through because everyone's trying to touch me and talk to me, so it's kind of hard to get to class on time." Fossil Ridge High School principal Dr. Deirdre Cook said, "Part of it's a robot and part of it is Lauren. She has friends here. We're hoping long-term it can save dollars and give better first instruction to our students because she can be in the classroom." Her mother said she's able to interact with kids the way she would if she was in school. not really the way she would if she was in
school. I don't think so, because they're really there and she's a robot.
She said, I'm really sad I have to miss my freshman year, but I'm very happy I'll be able to go through school because this feels like I'm having the same experiences that they are going to high school.
I'm not trying to be snarky, but really, what is going to happen? You can't get a gig at like a snow cone place and send the robot to work for it. Maybe you can. No. I don't know.
And the first time she makes out with a guy, and it's really the robot,
I love your smooth, lipless face.
It's not going to be the same thing, even if you are avoiding his breakfast hands.
Seamus, by the way, has gone crazy and is screaming via Skype in all caps. This is a bunch of crap. Why did I have to go to school as a kid? All I had to do was bitch about peanuts, and I could have had a robot and stayed home. F her! Oh, he's all disproportionately. Well, they didn't have robots that could do that. All they had was that Tomy thing.
I don't think Seamus should be so bitter. Isn't that kind of the life he lives now?
Yeah, basically, he's just like Dr. Octopus right now, just squatting in a basement in Denver, just, you know, sort of like floating in a gelatinous orb of some kind with a bunch of keyboards around him. So, dealing with some guy in Japan.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
And finally, a Russian cargo ship was launched successfully to the International Space Station on Sunday.
I'm sorry, he says I could have done it years earlier. That's the point.
Okay. Clearing the way for the next manned mission and easing concerns about the station's future after a previous failed launch. The unmanned Progress M13M, that seems a little redundant, blasted off as scheduled at 2:11 p.m. Moscow time from the Russian-leased Baikonur Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. It was a perfect launch, said spokesman Valerie Linden, adding the ship successfully reached a designated orbit and will dock at the station on Wednesday. A new crew will be launched through the space outpost on November 14th. Pending the outcome of a series of flight readiness meetings in coming weeks, this successful flight sets the stage for the next launch planned for mid-November, said NASA Space Operations Chief Bill Gerstenmaier. The station's crew, which has been reduced to 3 astronauts after a failed launch in August, will be restored to 6 in December when another trio of astronauts is sent. So there you go. Russian cargo ship going to the International Space Station.
In an outpost on the edge of space.
Yay.
Yes. Okay.
That's it. That's all this.
Okay. I'm just waiting for the final close out there. All right. There's your Science on the March for Monday, October 31st, 2011. Yeah, that is Monday, October 31st, 2011, otherwise known to you as... Just FYI.
There's a guy at the Halloween party I was at on Saturday who said he was a space detective, that he was going around solving space crimes, mm-hmm. and he showed us his space phone... And his space, his different
well, these
space
aren't normal
gadgets.
Things that said space in front of them?
No, they were kind of fancy. He had a couple of really cool fancy things. And then I was smoking cigarettes with the pirates, and he offered us a light. And I said, is this a space lighter? And he just looked at me and he went, no, just a regular
Don't
lighter.
Don't be stupid, Don.
And that was it, just looking at me like, idiot.
It's contempt.
Just a regular lighter.
Jeez.
Yeah. Texas Congressman Ron Paul says his plan to get rid of the federal student loan program, hooray! Well, it's going to make college cheaper and more accessible, he says.
Of course, sure.
The 2012 Republican presidential contender says government-subsidized loans have driven up the cost of higher education.
Only a generation ago, we didn't have government programs, and people worked their way through college, and I was able to get through medical school and college, but it wasn't so expensive.
Wow. He says the loans have driven tuition higher but have not improved education.
People have a pseudo-education and no jobs and all debt. I mean, we've indentured them.
There's always room for fun in the world of magic.
God. A man angry that his roommate's dog ate his bird retaliated by setting the man's belongings on fire in the front yard, according to authorities.
What kind of bird was it?
Not sure yet. It just says an expensive bird.
I don't believe that's a scientific classification.
No. Christopher E. Thrapp, 35.
Christopher Thrapp. That's awesome. I don't think I've ever heard that name before in my 38 years on the planet. Christopher E. Thrapp. Two P's?
No, one P.
Okay, but Thrapp. Still, all right.
It's Thrapp. Like a Don Martin.
It's like
Martin
a Don Martin.
Sound.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. He was arrested by Clearwater, Florida police Saturday evening and charged with burglary and felony criminals mischief.
In Katunga County.
According to arrest reports, Thrapp went into the locked bedroom of a man who rents a room from him and took numerous personal items, including a mattress, television, and clothes. Thrapp put the items on the lawn and set them on fire. He told police he was angry that the man's dog had eaten his, quote, expensive bird. An arrest report states. The burned items were worth about $5,600, police estimate.
You know, because here's the thing about birds, is that I know that we're, you know, that they're magical creatures and, you know, whatever, and they can talk. But the thing is, the birds are just kind of a-holes, you know, a lot of times. Like, you ever know anybody that has, like, a squawking, what are those things, minor birds? What are the things that talk?
Yeah, sure, minor birds.
And they're just, you know, and the thing is, they smell and they're mean.
Yeah.
And they bite you given the slightest opportunity.
I had a roommate for a while, and by roommate, I mean a guy...
Who wouldn't leave.
Who was getting kicked out of his apartment, and I said he could stay with me for a couple of weeks, and 6 months later I had to kick him out. And he had a parrot or a something.
Yeah.
He had one of those big, big, bright red kind of birds. And it had this huge cage that took up like a third of this one room, and it was mean, and it would like try to bite you. And ostensibly birds are really clean. The birds themselves are clean. But
now, the cage always reeks,
though. But the cage
though.
Full of crap and, like, rotting broccoli
is not
clean.
No, and plus they seem to take a perverse delight in squawking really, really. And they have, like, minor birds, I think it is, that I'm thinking of. They have this, it's like this frequency that just will shake the fillings, like, out of your teeth. I mean, it's like they will just, it will just shatter glass. And they'll be quiet for long stretches of time and then just... And out of nowhere, or they see. Here's the other thing. The only other time I knew anybody had one of these, they seem to take this sort of wicked pleasure in waiting until it's completely pitch dark and it's like 3:30 in the morning, and then they'll just start reciting random things that they heard like earlier in their lives, sort of like a "Stop it, that hurts," you know. And then meanwhile, you're up in bed, just going like, "What in the name of?" And it's, you know, I am surprised that there aren't more bird instigated shootings, where like a guy comes downstairs because he thinks that like I don't know, he thinks that he's being burgled, or that like. You know, or that like his house is possessed by various poltergeists. I mean, they pick and choose their moments very carefully. I'm convinced of this.
Mm. Mona Simpson, an author and biological sister of Steve Jobs, said her brother's final words were, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow."
One more thing.
In the October 16th eulogy she delivered that was published Sunday in the New York Times. Simpson remembered the man she first learned about when she was 25, living in New York and working in a small literary magazine. A lawyer had informed her that she had a rich and famous long-lost brother. The two met, and a relationship emerged. Simpson, now a novelist and professor at the University of California, remembered her brother being simple but true, a hard worker who didn't flinch at the idea of failing and never bought into gimmicks. She said, if he loved a shirt, he'd order 10 or 100 of them. In the Palo Alto house, there were probably enough black cotton turtlenecks for everyone in this church.
There were 125 of them.
Wow. She also recalled his philosophy on life. Fashion is what seems beautiful now but looks ugly later. Art can be ugly at first but becomes beautiful later. Jobs, in Simpson's view, was a romantic who would often worry about his co-workers' love lives and was a consummate matchmaker. He believed that love happened all the time, everywhere, she said. Jobs eventually grew ill. He died of respiratory arrest resulting from pancreatic cancer that had spread to other organs at age 56, surrounded by family members. Apple did not disclose his cause of death, but Jobs had been in poor health for a number of years. Simpson recalled, eventually, even ordinary pleasures like a good peach no longer appealed to him. Simpson remembered his final moment with Jobs glancing toward the family. Before embarking, he looked at his sister Patty, then for a long time at his children, then at his life partner Laureen, then over their shoulders past them. Steve's final words were, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow."
And I guess because he and Mona Simpson didn't know each other for a long time because he went to one family and she went somewhere else and whatever, and she was already like, I don't know, like a best-selling novelist or something when they met, and then she wrote, the name of it escapes me now, but she wrote a book not too long after that, which was pretty well received, which features a main character who is not dissimilar. To Steve Jobs. And then I saw this, there was an article in the, the Times or something, or the, I don't know, some damn British tabloid, all about his parents, who, I guess he found it, I guess he researched his dad a little bit and found out his dad, or his biological father, was sort of an unlikable sort in his opinion, and so he opted not to have contact with him, but reestablished contact with his mom later, and then the sister, and then the whatever, and 125 turtlenecks. End.
All right. Let's do our entertainment news.
By the way, this is really just the only other thing I have to add to this is that I was at a gathering on Saturday where I find myself, if you ever really want to feel dumb, and I know you do, or in my case, dumber, sit next to a guy who, when you say, "So, what have you been up to lately?" he says, "Well," and he says in this, like, flawless, like, exactly how you like an Indian guy to sound, he says, "Well, I was at the Googleplex over the weekend giving a discussion about voice recognition technology and talking about DARPA," you know, and it's like you just kind of go, "Ah, I was trimming my toenails," you know, and it's like he was some guy who, like, I don't know, was there talking to Google about he's developing, I don't know, he's got some algorithm he wrote that helped determine, so that an application or a computer program can determine whether you are engaged in a business conversation or a social conversation based on your inflection and word usage.
Wow.
Which he's presumably going to sell and then, I don't know, and then buy an island nation and 1,000 child brides or something.
You hang with a much higher toned crowd than I do.
Well, you know, I'm really the, you know, I'm kind of the odd man out there, though. So they're all brilliant.
On Saturday, I was standing on a porch smoking cigarettes with two girls dressed as Abraham Lincoln and Theodore Roosevelt.
That's awesome. If it makes you feel better, during most of that conversation, I was just looking over his shoulder to see what kind of pie they had in the kitchen. all right. What are we doing here?
We're doing entertainment.
Let's see. Here's your, there we go. It's your entertainment news for Monday, October 31st.
After just over 2 months of marriage, Kim Kardashian has filed for divorce from her basketball hubby, Chris Humphries.
Awesome.
Kim did not give a formal reason for the split. 72 days, by the way. So, I mean, I swear to God, didn't they just finally run the special on E! All about their wedding like 2 weeks ago? 72 days they were married.
Sounds like he's finally leaving her behind.
Kim did not give a formal reason for the split, aside from the ever-popular and all-encompassing irreconcilable differences, but she did take time out to break her silence on the split and release a statement to E! News saying, "After careful consideration, I have decided to end my marriage. I hope everyone understands that this was not an easy decision. I lived with this man for 72 whole days. This has been a long time coming," she said. "I had hoped the marriage was forever, but sometimes things don't work out as planned."
We missed forever by just, we're almost there. It's a game of inches, though,
God.
Really. It's, God is in the details.
Kim listed their date of separation as today.
Did she sign with an X, too, on the name of plaintiff? Me.
As for the division of their assets, the couple did have a prenuptial agreement. She listed miscellany, jewelry, and other personal effects, as well as earrings and accumulations amassed before the wedding that she gets to keep. God. Yeah. And I really thought those crazy kids would make it. They seem...
What does he do?
He plays basketball.
This really works out better for him than for her, I would think.
Lindsay Lohan will concede that she violated her probation by getting kicked out of her community service program. She's going to appear in court on Wednesday, where Judge Stephanie Stouder plans to hold a hearing on whether Lindsay violated her probation. But sources say the hearing may be unnecessary because Lindsay will not put up a fight. Sources say that Lindsay's strategy is to show the judge she is now really, really serious about complying with the terms of her probation.
Uh-huh.
She'll come to court armed with proof that she's logged in 24 hours of service at the morgue, way more than the 16 hours the judge required before Wednesday's hearing. And she still has time to put in more time. She still may face over a year in jail if the judge decides that she violated her probation.
What exactly do you have to do to get put in jail in California at this point?
Well, if you're Lindsay Lohan, I guess you have to actually kill a guy right there in the courtroom.
Wouldn't you, if you were her, wouldn't you almost be tempted to try it? I mean, wouldn't really just start ramping up and just see exactly where the dividing line is?
And then just shrug your shoulders and go, "It wasn't me."
Well, you know.
Yeah. When Metallica and a concert promoter postponed the band's first concert ever in India, angry fans reacted with a seek and destroy mentality. Yeah, that's the seek, because that's one of their albums is called that. They rioted, trashed instruments, and even tore apart parts of the stage. Their promoter, DNA Entertainment Network, reportedly announced right before the gig was supposed to start at Leisure Valley Park in the city of Gurugan that they would have to postpone it for a day due to a problem with security measures at the venue. But some $25,000 fans had already pushed their way into the concert, and their angry reaction delivered the kind of carnage one might expect from a crowd that loves bludgeoning music with punishing volume levers. Wow, I hate this, the writing in this thing. Fans set banners on fire and trashed instruments on the stage.
How appropriate that they were playing at a place called Leisure Valley.
Leisure Valley. Authorities do allege that the promoters sold tickets far beyond capacity and did not inform authorities of the cancellation. So there were like 25,000 people there who were then told, sorry, not today.
It's hard to believe that something in India would be mismanaged and overcrowded.
While chatting with the film franchise star Daniel Radcliffe on a special feature on the upcoming DVD release of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, J.K. Rowling revealed that Ron Weasley came very close to facing the chopping block. Funnily enough, I planned from the start that none of them would die, she said. Then midway through, which I think is a reflection of the fact I wasn't in a very happy place, I started thinking I might polish one of them off out of sheer spite. There, now you definitely can't have him anymore.
That would have been awesome. Oh, I wish she'd done that.
Rowling eventually opted to keep Ron around, though his brother Fred did end up dying. I think in my absolute heart of hearts, although I did seriously consider killing Ron, I wouldn't have. It's a relief now to be able to talk about it all.
Okay.
Yeah. I do like that she wanted to kill one just to be spiteful.
Just to be a bitch.
Just because she could. That's all the entertainment.
All right. There's your entertainment news for Monday, October 31st, 2011, which is also... Just FYI. Here's Don Taylor.
The first same-sex couple has been voted king and queen at Patrick Henry High School in San Diego. First, Rebecca Arellano was voted king at the school pep rally on Friday. Then her girlfriend and fellow student, Haley Adams, received the honor Saturday night at the school dance, crowned with the title of homecoming queen. Both students said they are thrilled with the honor. Rebecca said, "They were chanting my name, and it was one of the most amazing experiences I've ever had." During an interview with a local news crew on Friday afternoon, cars full of people drove by shouting out things like, "You guys are an amazing couple. I love lesbians." Haley and Rebecca...
What are you doing right there?
I was doing them driving. That's the car.
I don't understand. You sound like Brian Wilson.
Out of sight.
And then he hit me with the 2x4, and I don't hear so good.
Haley and Rebecca started dating in their sophomore year, which was the year Rebecca came out. "She's really funny and, of course, beautiful, and she's just perfect to me," said Haley. The girl said they've received an abundance...
Haley sounds like a bit of a pillow princess.
The girl said they've received an abundance of support from family, friends, and most everyone at the school. The couple said they were not planning to run. Rebecca said, "Many of the guys are not happy about me running because I'm taking a guy's place, but if there was any other way to do it and have two lesbians that are a couple win, I would." Their nominations have made a difference for many students at Patrick Henry High School. Haley said the fact that other people are feeling more confident about themselves or feeling like they might have a chance at doing this, it's opening doors.
Yeah, I am, look, and I think I speak for men everywhere when I say that I am all for there being more hot lesbian couples elected king and queen and whatever.
Hmm? Oh, thank you. Give us 1 minute. That was odd.
Okay.
Anyway, power remains out to millions of people in at least 5 northeastern states after a rare October snowstorm has buried several areas in up to 2 feet of snow. The storm has put the Halloween plans for many in jeopardy. Diane Reynolds is right outside of Hartford, Connecticut, and says her kids will be trick-or-treating today, not tonight.
What is this called?
Power.
Because of all those trees and wires all over the place.
And whatnot.
We're planning on dressing the kids up and sending them out this afternoon while there's still daylight. Because I don't think it's really going to be very safe after dark.
Trying to suck the remaining bits of joy out of their childhoods.
Reynolds says her kids are out of school for the next few days because of power outages.
Fortunately, Mommy's Valium prescription is in.
Yes, they're out of school. We got a call on Sunday that they were out of school at least until Wednesday, when they will reassess and see if the town has power.
By the way, where was the lesbian couple that were the king and queen or whatever?
San Diego.
All right. I'll be posting that. You can see their photo in a moment at rickemerson.com/pictures. Seamus would like to note that the short one is, quote, hot as balls.
Okay.
End quote. Just, you know, in an aesthetic sense, because I'm sure she's underage.
Thank you, Seamus.
So there you go. That's, yeah. You know, that's he that is just a, it's a, he's appreciating her yeah. just a, in a sort of purely theoretical.
Kind of an aesthetic.
That's
kind
exactly.
Of thing, not a carnal way.
Right.
She has been stamped with the Seamus seal of hot approval.
That's right. All right, there you go. And with that, we do this. Which is to end this another exciting episode of Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high over the milk packing district in glorious southeast Portland, Oregon, at the news desk, Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Cyber Wizard Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agle, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. We will see you next hour for the Rick Emerson radio program today, featuring a Walking Dead recap. Mr. Aaron Duran at the Weekend Geek. We will announce the winners of our Geek or Lantern contest and a penis watch, I believe, among other things. That's next hour. Until then, we will leave you with this musical interlude, and we will see you here tomorrow at Cascadia.fm for another installment of Legion of News. Thank you for listening.